ओम जनजमनंद वंश हरि बालिका कृष्णेन्द्रिय प्रीति इच्छ धरे प्रेम नाम Just trying to remember. It's okay, I have it. This is an important verse which Prabhupada really speaks about. Rupa Goswami quotes it, and Prabhupada speaks about in a large part of this chapter, chapter 15. Now, for your homework for the next days until we finish the remainder of the Eastern Wave, which is page 153, excuse me, 147 is the last page, and that's chapter 19. It's not very many pages, but there are some very important and very deep subject matters, although we may be able to intellectually discuss these things. There far beyond at least my realization. So we're going to just talk today about chapter 15, which is the first of the two chapters on spontaneous devotional service, which means Raganuga, Bhakti. In this first chapter, Prabhupada lays the basic foundational groundwork of concepts to explain what is Raganuga Bhakti. Now, if you remember, way back in the early chapters, at the beginning of our course, we discussed that there are two different types of sadhana. One is called Vaidhi and one is called Raganuga. Vaidhi Bhakti means that one is impelled to remember Krishna by the rules and regulations. And Raganuga means that one is impelled to remember Krishna by spontaneous attraction to Krishna. The essence of both are the same in the sense that they are both different impetuses to making advancement by the process of remembering Krishna. So up to this point, up to chapter 14, that process known as Vaidhi Bhakti has been described. Now, the process known as spontaneous devotional service will be described. Now, in this, especially in the first half of the first page, it's a little hard to understand. So we're, instead of reading it exactly from here, we're going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Prabhupada, or actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and Prabhupada in his translation explain the basic points of the first paragraph. Beginning on in Madhyalila, the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, chapter 22, text 149. We'll read from text 149, not very many, just to text 154. And several of the verses that Rupa Goswami, actually the Sanskrit verses that Rupa Goswami quotes, are used by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in these verses here. My dear Sanatan, Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhaneira Kahilun Vivaran Raganuga Bhakti Ralakshana Shuna Sanatana. Shuno, that means you listen, Sanatana, you hear. My dear Sanatan, I have in detail described devotional service according to the regulative principles. What is the translation in Sanskrit of devotional service according to regulative principles? Huh? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Yes, sir. Remember. Now hear from me about spontaneous devotional service and its characteristics. So what is spontaneous devotional service? That means Raganuga Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhaneira Kahilun Vivaran Raganuga Bhakti Ralakshana. Lakshana means the symptom. The symptoms. Hear from me the symptoms. O Sanatana, hear from me the symptoms of Raganuga, after I've already described what is Vaidhi Bhakti, because again, a lot of this information, all the philosophy, Kaviraj Goswami has excerpted and placed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this philosophy is also here. Next, I'll read the Sanskrit, then the English, and then the Sanskrit again, so we'll pick up the words. Ragatmika Bhakti Mukya Vrajavasi Jan Tara Anugatta Bhaktira Radha Nuganam. The original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called Ragatmika Bhakti. Who are the Ragatmika Bhaktis? And? Is that what it said, the gopis? Residents in Vrindavan. Yeah, all those Vrajavasis who are actually in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, these are Ragatmika Bhaktis. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service. Rag means attachment. So Ragatmika, Atmika means, like, what does it mean? One who is full, whose Atma is full of this spontaneous attachment for Krishna. So the original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called Ragatmika Bhakti. When a devotee follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called Raganuga. So Raganuga means following in the footsteps. Anuga means following, and Raganuga means following in the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhaktis. Clear? When a pure devotee, Prabhupada explains in the purport, follows the footsteps of a devotee in Vrindavan, he develops Raganuga Bhakti. That following in the footsteps means the cultivation. The one who is following the Ragatmika Bhaktis is called a Raganuga Bhakti. I'll read the Sanskrit again. Ragatmika Bhakti Mukya, Mukya Vrajavasi Jan means those preeminent Ragatmika Bhaktis are the Vrajavasis, the Vrajavasi Jan. Tara Anugata Bhakti. Anugata, we say that every day. Where do we say Anugata? What is that line? Of course, we'll ask our memory bank. Hello? Yes? Again. Deinavegana. Sakirana Anugata Koro means that I want to follow. It is a matter of following. That is what Anugata means. So, Prabhupada, in this word by word, says Anugata means following. So, Tara Anugata Bhakti, following those devotees who are the Ragatmika Bhaktis, that is called Nam Raganuga Nam. That is named Raganuga. The next verse. Ishte sarasikhi rag parama vishtata bhavet tanmayiya bhavet bhakti satra ragatmikodita. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. That is called transcendental attachment. And devotional service, according to that attachment, is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. So this is the definition, again, of Ragatmika Bhakti from Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. I'll read it again. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and again, the residents of Vrindavan are the prime, preeminent Raganuga Bhaktis. Not Raganuga Bhaktis, but Raganuga Jan. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. So he's fully always due to this natural, spontaneous inclination to love Krishna in a specific way, he's always absorbed in those thoughts. Thoughts of what? Thoughts of Krishna. That is called transcendental attachment. That is tatmayi. That is called transcendental attachment, and devotional service according to that attachment is called agapita. So when one is loving Krishna according to his specific attachment on this exalted level, that is called spontaneous devotional service on ragatmika. Clear? When one has a specific attachment and one is completely always absorbed in that purely. Next verse. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is text 272. It's right. This is basically what we're reading from here. Then, Ishte Gaja Krishna Ragera Swarupa Lakshana Ishte Avashtata E Tatashta Lakshana. So again, Swarupa Tatashta Lakshana of this. The primary characteristic of spontaneous love is deep attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absorption in Him is the marginal characteristic. So this is basically Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's explanation of that verse of Rupa Goswami. So attachment in a particular way, and then complete absorption in that. One's consciousness is completely absorbed in that, in loving Krishna according to that attachment. Any questions so far? Yeah.
Do you define transcendental attachment? Now, devotional service, which I think is the name of the same verse, is according to that transcendental attachment. Is that ragatmika or ragatmika?
That's what. This is the definition of ragatmika. Because it's hard to understand in there, therefore I'm reading it from here. Prabhupada translation. That is the definition, that is Rupa Goswami's definition of ragatmika bhakti. Next. Raga mayi. Mayi means full of, like that. So full of rag or attachment. Raga mayi bhaktira, when the bhakta is full of this attachment of devotional service. Ragatmayi bhaktira hai ragatmika nama. That is called ragatmika. Taha shuni lubdo hai kona bhagyavan. Thus devotional service which consists of rag, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate. What does covet mean? Deeply, deeply, huh? Desires. So if a person really wants that, he is considered most fortunate. Kona Bhagyavan. Some fortunate people want that. Next. Lobhe Braja Vishara Bhave Kare Anugati. Shastra Yukti Nahi Mane Raganugera Prakriti. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, and that means lobe, greed, he does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of Shastra. That is the way of spontaneous love. Now at this point, as soon as we mentioned such people don't care for the injunctions of Shastra, and such a person who wants that is so fortunate, then of course here we are in Vrindavan, everyone is saying, oh, I want that, I'm so fortunate. And not only that, I don't have to follow the Shastra anymore. Because I'm so fortunate because I desire to be in that way. But it is just not that cheap. And Rupa Goswami later, and we'll explain it tomorrow, we'll explain exactly the process of Raganuga. But it is not cheap, and it is not actually a giving up of the Shastric injunctions or Vaidhi Bhakti at all. It's a matter again of where the motivation is. Does it come from one's actual deep personal attachment to loving Krishna in a particular way? Pure attachment? Or does it come from the Shastra? And what happens, not often, but sometimes, someone doesn't actually have even the slightest, thinnest, leanest, meanest thread of true lobe or greed, and yet he wants to act on this platform, and therefore he doesn't follow properly. And we call such people what? Sahajiyas. That is the definition of a sahajiya. So there's Prabhupada's purport is very important here. And it describes sahajiyas. An advanced devotee is attracted by the service rendered by an eternal servitor of the Lord. This attraction is called spontaneous attraction. Technically, it is called sarup upalabdhi. This stage is not achieved in the beginning. In the beginning, one has to render service strictly according to the regulative principles set forward by the real revealed scriptures and spiritual master. By continuously rendering service through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one's natural inclination is gradually awakened. That is called spontaneous attraction or Raganuga Bhakti. And the last verse we're going to read, the purport is even longer than that, very important purport, is also from Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. Viran jantim abhivyaktam braja vasi jana dishu ragatmikam anusrita yasa raganugochitaya. Devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous love, loving service. Is it clear? There's the Ragatmika Bhaktis, Ragatmika devotees are the residents of Vrindavan because they are completely full of attachment to Krishna in a particular mood. What are the particular moods? There's either Madhurja, or sometimes called Sringara Ras, conjugal, and then there is Vatsalya Ras, parental, and then there is Sakara Ras, or friendship, and Dasya Ras. Those are basically the moods. And of course, when there is Shantara Ras, neutrality, but the Shantara Ras and neutrality in Braja is always mixed with other rasas. And Rupa Goswami at times doesn't even consider Shantara Ras actual Ras. So they have a specific attachment to loving Krishna in a specific way, and it is blossomed, but not fully blossomed to prem. Because remember, the Ragatmika Bhaktas, that's what we're talking about. They have a fully blossomed loving attachment to Krishna, and they're always absorbed. These are the two parts of the definition of Ragatmika Bhakti, and they're always absorbed in loving Krishna in this way. Completely always absorbed. There is not a moment, no one has to tell them to remember Krishna and think about his pastimes. They're spontaneously, lovingly, constantly, always attached and absorbed to him. Those devotees who have achieved a specific mood of service parallel to the residents of Vrindavan, but it is undeveloped yet, and they are following in the footsteps of the resident of Vrindavan, they are very fortunate to have attained this spontaneous attraction, sarup upalabdhi, and they are following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and they are called Raganuga Bhaktas. And they are not bound by the rules and regulations, but they follow them nonetheless. That will be explained in tomorrow's class or next day, depending on how long it takes. So this is basically the content of the first paragraph over here, or the first two paragraphs, or one paragraph. And it should be clear, it's not difficult to understand. Next, in the second paragraph, that definition that we had just read is there. Srila Rupa Goswami has defined Raganuga Bhakti as spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed and thoughts of it. And that is how, what we just read in Dragatmika Bhakti. Now, next, devotional service under the heading, and this is described later too, and there's two kinds of Ragatmika Bhakti. There are two categories. One is called, as Prabhupada says, Kama Rupa, and the other is called Sambandha Rupa. Kama Rupa means taking the form of transcendental lust, and Sambandha Rupa means relationship. These are Ragatmika, the two categories of Ragatmika Bhakti. This is all technical stuff, and just by memorizing the names, it doesn't mean much, but we should know the philosophy because it's written here. Now, again, if one love has these attachments, it's either Kamanuga or Kama Rupa or Sambandha Rupa. Right? And they're moods of loving absorption in service of Krishna. And again, they're always thinking of Krishna. So to emphasize the process of always thinking of Krishna and how purifying it is, no matter which way you are always absorbed in thinking about Him, Rupa Goswami quotes some verses from the seventh canto of the first chapter of the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to read them from here because there's a few more verses in addition that I'd like to read. Now, this is going to take us to the paragraph on page 120, beginning with, there may be some difficulty in understanding that both the gopis and Kamsa achieve the same goal. Do you see where that is on page 120? You see that? It's the next to last, the beginning of the third paragraph. So what I'm going to read is basically going to take us up to this point. This is from the first, this is a very important chapter of the seventh canto. It's the introduction to the story of Prahlad Maharaj, when Yudhisthira Maharaj and Narada Muni are discussing. And this is the discussion that leads to Narada Muni describing Prahlad Maharaj and Aranyakashipu, and Aranyakashipu is one of the two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So, this is from the first chapter in the seventh canto, verse 33. Narada Muni continued, "O best of the Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupala and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu, but because they were cursed by Brahmanas, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world." Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, "What kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas? And what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again into this material world is impossible." Oops, I'm reading from the wrong part. That was the end of where I wanted to be. Narada Muni is describing, this is during the Rajasuya sacrifice. Yudhisthira Maharaj had inquired from Narada Muni, and Sukadeva Goswami is describing this. The question, Yudhisthira asked the question, how is it possible for Sisupala and Dantavakra to enter into the body of Krishna, because Krishna had just chopped off their heads and their souls came out and entered into the body of Krishna. So Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni, how is this possible? So after hearing the request of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Narada Muni, the most powerful spiritual master who knew everything, was very pleased. Thus he replied in the presence of everyone taking part in the jugga. The great sage Sri Naradaji said, "O King, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy." My dear king, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self, and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Now here is the parts that are very important. Because of the bodily concept of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desires, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or another concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Now here, Narada Muni isn't actually prescribing that people become the Lord's enemy at all, but he's emphasizing, as we explained a few weeks ago, he's emphasizing how powerful thinking of Krishna is. By fear, by devotional service, by enmity, by affection, or by lusty desires, by all of these or any of these, if a conditioned soul somehow or another concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. So Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada are using this verse and the following verses to explain what is Raganuga Bhakti. Thinking of the Lord in one of these ways, becoming totally absorbed in him, and thus becoming released from the bondage of conditional life. Narada Muni continued, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards him. That is my opinion. Very interesting opinion. Just like when you love someone, your mind will occasionally go to that person. But when you hate someone, your mind can't stop thinking about the person. Narada Muni is saying that, showing how Sisupal was so, how Sisupal entered into Krishna's body. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, Srimad Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Sisupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also thinks of himself in a humble way. Jagai madai haite muni sapapishta puru seda kita haite muni se lagista. I am a worse sinner than Jagai and Madai, and am even lower than the worms in stool. So the devotee is thinking like that, but actually the pure devotees who are always loving Krishna are more exalted. A grass worm. Next verse. A grass worm. Is everyone following it? I know it's hard when I'm just reading, but it's very, very important. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply but because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or another think of Krishna, who is Satchitananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or as an enemy. Because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. My dear King Yudhisthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, and Yadus by their family relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have attained the mercy of Krishna. Somehow or another, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above,
one can return home back to Godhead. Atheists, like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimical way. So, Vena went to hell because he was so envious. But his envy wasn't directed towards Krishna. Shishupala, on the other hand, he was absorbed in Krishna's body. He was liberated. And he was envious, but because his envy was concentrated on the thoughts of Krishna, he actually achieved a spiritual destination. But, as all the commentators have explained, that the actual result of thinking about Krishna in enmity and fear will not be the same as thinking about Krishna in great love as the gopis think of Krishna. Even though they attain the same platform, the spiritual platform, they do not attain the results. As shown in the case of Shishupala. What happened to Shishupala? He became absorbed into the body of Krishna. He did not go to Goloka Vrindavan and carry on an eternal loving relationship with him. So the results are on the same platform. Just like, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the commentary of Nectar Devotion, that someone may be situated in the sun, but one person may be situated in the sunlight, and the other person may be situated directly on the sun planet, and we may say that both are situated in the sun. So similarly, Sisupala and Kamsa received the same result as the gopis who were thinking about Krishna and Kamsa and Sisupala. But their result, although on the same platform, the spiritual platform, was not at all the same. Actually speaking, the positive result of thinking about Krishna for demons like Sisupala is that they are killed by Krishna and they die and they go to, not Goloka Vrindavan, but they become merged into the effulgence of Krishna, which is the exact same result that Krishna always gives his enemies, who he kills personally. They go to Brahman. And those thinking about Krishna in this way also will go to Brahman. So it is not, and the Mayavadis also go to Brahman. So if the enemies go to Brahman, what kind of great result is that? That's not a reward, that's a punishment. And this is the thinking of the devotee. So this is explained over here. By the same perfection, this is right at the end, in the middle of 122. We must always remember the example of the sun and sunshine. Those who are impersonalists can merge into the sunshine like Brahma Jyoti, whereas those who are in love with the Supreme Lord enter into the supreme abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. Now, Prabhupada is going to explain here, because there are two things, Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa. The Sambandha Rupa is going to be explained as the first topic in the next chapter. But this Kama Rupa, or loving Krishna in the lusty, with the lust, Kam means lust. And we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudva, Mahashano, Mahapatma, Vijayanam, Yavarinam. That this Kam is the great sinful all-devouring enemy. It is born of the mode of passion. It is must be destroyed. Right? But this Kam doesn't have anything to do with the so-called Kam of the gopis. There's nothing to do with it. And so Prabhupada spends quite a bit of time explaining what is this Kama Rupa or Kamatmika Bhakti. Or Bhakti. Remember, there are two different kinds of Ragatmika Bhakti. One is Kama Rupa and the other is Sambandha Rupa. Or Kamatmika and Sambandhatmika. Thank you. So first he's going to explain something, a little bit, about the glorious Kam of the gopis of Vrindavan, and also
It's also true for the other, the svakya relationship, or the married relationship with the Dwarkavasi queens, Mahishi Bhav. So, Prabhupada explains, the lusty attitude of the gopis does not refer to any sort of sex indulgence. So, we should understand this, of course we all know it, but we should hear it again and again, that this, the love that the gopis feel for Krishna in this mood has nothing to do with anything that anyone has ever experienced in the material world. It has nothing to do with it, but this type of material lust, this kama of the material world, is a perverted reflection of the real kama in the spiritual world. So, as in the perverted reflection, we can look at the perverted reflection, and by understanding a little of the mood of the perverted reflection, we can understand something about the actual reality. But we should understand there is a complete 180 degree difference. They are opposite in one sense, although they resemble each other. But to help us understand what this is like, the only reference point that we can possibly have is the dealings between young boys and young girls. And therefore it is called Kama Rupa or Kama Rupa. But it actually has nothing to do with material Kama. Nothing at all. So we can't imagine. We can't imagine what it's like, the love that the gopis feel for Krishna. It is beyond our imagination, and we are requested not to try to imagine. Every devotee in his perfectional stage has a spontaneous attraction to the Lord. This attraction is sometimes called the lusty desire of the devotee. The lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. Herein lies the difference between lust and love, or kam and kam, spiritual kam and material kam. The lust, so-called lust, we'll call it right here, is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. Such a desire may seem to be a desire for enjoying the Lord, but actually the endeavor is to serve the Lord in that capacity. For example, a devotee may be desiring to associate with the personality of Godhead as his cowherd friend. He will want to serve the Lord by assisting him in controlling the cows in the pasturing ground. This may be appeared to be a desire to enjoy the company of the Lord, but actually it is spontaneous love serving him by assisting in managing the transcendental cows. So again, the key to understanding this is that that devotee who is maturely wants to love Krishna in this way is wants to serve Krishna, and that is his motivation, and this is how he wants to serve Krishna. There is not the slightest tinge of mundane kam or mundane lust or the desire to enjoy anything within his consciousness. His desire is simply to serve Krishna, following in the mood of some of the residents of Vrindavan, and therefore he is called Raganuga. Any questions so far? Yeah.
So that means that not every devotee attending this platform Raganuga. That one can attend, that means that one can attend Prema by following always by Shivaki, then he goes to Vaikuntha. And if one
can attain what? By
Prema, Krishna.
Prema.
Without following the Raganuga Bhakti, and then when he developed Prema, he goes on Vaikuntha.
Yes, there are two paths. If one only will follow Vaidhi Bhakti, this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one will go to Vaikuntha. But why is it that Prabhupada never emphasized that point? But why didn't Prabhupada emphasize that point?
Yeah.
Right, but that's not why Prabhupada... No, the point that Prabhupada didn't emphasize was that if you follow Vaidhi Bhakti up to Prema, you will go to Vaikuntha. It is clearly in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But why didn't Prabhupada emphasize that point? It's very clear, it's simple. If you understand our own minds... Oh! If I follow Vaidhi Bhakti, I'll go to Vaikuntha. I don't want to go to Vaikuntha, I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. If I follow Raganuga Bhakti, I'll go to Goloka Vrindavan. And if I follow Vaidhi Bhakti, therefore I shouldn't follow Vaidhi Bhakti. And therefore, the neophyte devotee will give up his following of Vaidhi Bhakti and promptly, instead of going to Krishna Loka, go to where? Hell. Quickly, express train. The Naraka Mail.
Even such devotees like Narada Muni, so people
know Vaidhi Bhakti. Narada Muni, he is everywhere, practically speaking. He goes everywhere. But when he goes to Braja, it's actually said there's a Narada Kund by Govanan, where he has to perform austerities to go to attain the platform of going to Braja. This Braja Bhakti is very rare. Even Narada isn't exactly a Braja Bhakta. Prahlad, not a Braja Bhakta. Yeah.
Through the Raghavinda Bhaktas, by following in the footsteps of the Raghavika, do they become the Raghavika also?
Yes.
And the second one is, you say that Raghavika Bhaktas, they have a particular service. This particular mood.
Yes.
So, does that mean that they have particular mood is one of the five rasas?
Yes.
Oh, so then this means they only have, they will be serving only one of the rasas.
Yes.
If they're conjugal lover, they will be only conjugal lover.
Yeah, because you can't be a conjugal lover and a mother at the same time.
Yeah,
because it doesn't work. Rasavas, that is what rasavas means. If the moods of your service conflict.
But they can serve in the, I mean, they can assist in that rasa.
What rasa?
Say, the mother-in-law of Radharani.
But mother-in-law of Radharani, well, that's a different topic. But that's a different topic completely, because she is internal energy of Krishna. But her mood assists in conjugal rasa. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about someone within himself having the mood of lover and mother at the same time. It can't be done.
Right.
The coward boys are looking at the mothers as assisting them in the coward boy rasa. And the mothers are looking at the coward boys as they're just paraphernalia, not like that, heartless and cold like that. But they're part of Vatsalya Rasa. And the gopis see everything is just part of Madhurya Rasa. But also some people, some personalities have mixtures also. Like Balaram has friendship, parental, like that.
So what's that?
What's
what? I mean, if there is mixing.
What?
I understood that they may not be serving different rasas, but they may assist. But now.
And just like Subal. See, some of the friends of Krishna have a mixture of the very intimate friends, have a mixture, they assist in the dealings between Krishna and the gopis. So they have friendship and some conjugal in there, but not in the same way as the gopis. But this is getting into an advanced subject. Is it clear though? It's pretty simple.
So I understand I understand that they may have one rasa and which they serve, and then they may assist in other rasas. That's right.
Something like that.
Sometimes it's explained that higher rasas like Madhura rasa includes automatically all other rasas. So how do we understand this?
Because
to actually only.
But not. It has some aspects of the affection and desire to care for and thinking of one's own, but not exactly the motherly affection. But there's friendship in there. It's all there. Like that. But not the actual feeling of motherly love. It conflicts. Just like later on in the tenth canto, when Pradyumna is born, his eternal wife, Rati, first nurtured him as a child after she found him in the fish. You know that story, right? And then he began to grow very quickly. Very quickly, he was a young man. And her feeling of motherliness immediately changed to conjugal feelings. So he looked at her and said, before you were feeling mother, even in our material relationships, when we think about mother, to think about anything conjugal is completely crazy. It's completely improper, completely crazy. Everyone knows that the mother and the father have a relationship. Everyone knows that mother and father have a relationship, but we never think of them together in that way because it's not proper. It's rasa-basa. Improper. It's an improper mixing of rasas, the parental rasa and the conjugal rasa.
Taking the five rasas, there's a specific personality in the spiritual world who exemplifies the rasa.
Many. That's called the Ashraya Vigraha. This will be explained later, but they are the Ashraya Tattva for that. And Krishna is the Vishaya. This is Rasa Tattva. This is explained in the next section when Rasa is explained.
So, will devotees necessarily only aspire to the Rasa Ashraya, or will they? What will the
problem
describe to somebody else?
Like,
what are the
other groups
or
what
the other
instead of No, but anyway, that's jumping the question.
Does it happen in his soul itself or after getting liberated?
You can't, of course, it's after liberated.
Even if you're not vis-a-vis start to practice.
Thinking of accepting a resident of Vrindavan,
yeah.
and then thinking of oneself as a follower of that resident of Vrindavan, and thinking of oneself in that mood, and accepting Ekadasa Bhav, which means all the paraphernalia or the accoutrements of that rasa, that is the top part of a shakti. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita in a purport way. At the top part of a shakti, and that will help carry one to Baba. And anything premature is premature. Anything
one. But main qualification is the sloka you explained. How is this that one develop this sloka? Or what can help develop
these? I was just reading on the folio program yesterday. One devotee asked Prabhupada, what is the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga? And Prabhupada said, don't try to understand everything at once. On a question like that, that was his answer. Because it's not just a matter of memorizing the terms and figuring out this, and we all have a tendency to intellectually try to understand and make an intellectual adjustment as if making an intellectual adjustment, intellectual understanding is what this is about. And it isn't what this is about. Now, the last thing we'll discuss today. Is page 123, what is this Kamanuga? Sensual attraction, page 123, Kamarupa. This extreme desire to serve the Lord is manifest in the transcendental land of Braja, and it is specifically manifested amongst the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is so elevated that for our understanding it is sometimes explained as being lusty desires. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, has explained the distinction between lusty desire and the service attitude in this statement. Lusty desire refers to the desire to gratify one's personal senses, and transcendental desire refers to the desire for serving the senses of the Lord. That was the verse I was practicing. Atmendriya priti vancha tari bali tari bali kam. That means atmendriya priti, to gratify one's own senses. The desire for that, vancha, tare bali kam, it is called kam or lust. Krishnendriya priti itscha, the desire to satisfy the indriya or the senses of Krishna. Dore Krishna, dore premanam, its name is prema. When you desire to satisfy Krishna, not just intellectually, but this is actually the purity of one's heart, and through one's love, one's thinking of pleasing Krishna only. And everything one's doing has no material contamination, but the desire is simply for Krishna's pleasure. That is called prema. And when we do something which is meant to satisfy our senses in subtle and gross ways, that is called kama or lust. The gopis wanted nothing at all but to gratify the senses of the Lord, and there is no instance of this in the material world. Therefore, the gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described by scholars as being like the lusty desires of the material world, but actually this should not be taken as a literal fact. It is simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation. The gopis would take care of their transcendental bodies. They would comb their hair, they would dress, they would put on their kajal eye makeup, they would put their earring on over here, not an earring, and they would put their nose ring over there, they would put their shawl on, they would put a flower over here just to satisfy Krishna, to bring Krishna pleasure. They would consider this body belonged to Krishna. This was their mood. It was completely transcendental. Nothing to do with the material world and material lust. And to prove and to show and give examples as it has nothing to do with material lust, there are some evidences, Shastric evidences quoted. Great devotees up to the standard of Uddhava are very dear friends of the Lord, and they desire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So the gopis' love for Krishna is certainly not material lusty desires. Otherwise, how could Uddhava aspire to follow in their footsteps? Another instance is Lord Chaitanya himself. After accepting the sannyas order of life, he taught that there is no better method of worshipping Krishna than that conceived by the gopis. Thus, the gopis' method of worshipping the Lord, as if impelled by lusty desires, was praised very highly, even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This very fact means that although the attraction of the gopis for Krishna appears to be very lusty, it is not in the least bit material. Unless one is fully situated in the transcendental position, the relationship of the gopis with Krishna is very difficult to understand. But because it appears to be just like ordinary dealings of young boys and girls, it is sometimes misrepresented to be like the ordinary sex of the material world. Unfortunately, persons who cannot understand the transcendental nature of the loving affairs of the gopis and Krishna take it for granted that Krishna's love affairs and the gopis are mundane transactions, and therefore they sometimes indulge in painting licentious pictures in some modernistic style and sell them in Delhi and Jaipur. So one should avoid these pictures, because they will bring out, because the author was not on the proper platform, and this is not the proper thing for common for showing to people, it will produce material transformations in our minds, and we should avoid that very strictly. Now, one last point. Two last points. One is about Kubja. What? Kubja. On the other hand, now here, Kubja was not on the level of Kamarupa, Kamatmika. Kubja is not on this level. On the other hand, the lusty desire of Kubja is described by learned scholars as being almost lusty desires. That means kam praya. Praya means almost or like. So it is like lust. Kubja was like, she was almost lusty, almost material lust. But Kubja was a hunchback woman who also wanted Krishna with great ecstatic love, but her desire for Krishna was almost mundane. So it's praya kam. So her love cannot be compared to the love of the gopis. Her loving affection for Krishna is called kama praya, almost like the love for Krishna. This is called sadharani, or courtesanship. This is neither kama rupa nor sambandha rupa. Sadharani means she was a courtesan. Means like prostitute, social lady. But because her love was focused on Krishna, her lust, actual material lust, was focused on Krishna, it is like kam, because it was purified and purifying, because it was focused on Krishna. But it was not and cannot be compared to the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, who had not a trace of material kam in their hearts. Huh? No, a completely different. Who was she following? If she was a Raghunatha. Anuga means following. She's following Krishna. And that's not what Raghunuga means. You follow someone who loves Krishna. Not you don't follow. You don't deal with Krishna directly. This is actually described later. This is the more technical, esoteric elements of the philosophy. And why are we even discussing them in our class? Because Rupa Goswami has described them here in his first Eastern Wave of the Ocean, and his service, we are doing this to make sure you understand things properly.
Why is she in the material world? Is she still in the material desires?
Why is she still in the material world?
Why is she in the spiritual world?
How do you know she's in the spiritual world?
Well, this event took place in Dwarka.
But see, there's different. No, the event took place in Mathura. Yeah. But there are different. There are different types of Krishna's leelas. One is nitya and the other is naimittic. Nitya means eternal, that takes place in the spiritual world. Naimittic means that it is occasional and takes place in the material world. So for instance, Krishna's killings of the demons, they take place in the material world. But Krishna also, he's taking Kubja out. Huh? That took place here. See, no one with material, any tinge of material, and especially no one can get the Vraja.
Remember this verse about this definition of prema and kama, which you quote?
Adi Lila, chapter 4, text, maybe 175. But it's in Adi Lila, chapter 4. Very important verse. Atma Indriya, to satisfy one's own senses. Atma Priti Vansha, that means the desire to satisfy one's own senses.
This verse by Narada Muni that you read.
So many verses.
There was one particular that all of them were thinking of Krishna in a particular way.
Yes, there are five different ways.
There are general devotees who think of Krishna, obtain Krishna. And they were also mentioned in other ways. So are there people who are devotees who are following in other ways, like Shishupala?
Don't become a follower of a Shishupala Nuga.
But this is like this.
Shishupala Nugas? Not in ISKCON. No, we don't follow the path of Shishupala. That's for demons. And they, demons go to the Brahmajyoti if they are fortunate enough to be killed by Krishna. We don't follow Sister Paul. Because why? Because Rupa Goswami, right in the beginning, what's practically the first thing he explains is Anyabhilasita sunyam gyanakama anavrita anukulena Krishna anushilanam. That the remembering Krishna is Krishna anushilanam, but it has to be anukul. It has to be in a favorable light. Not to kill Krishna. And out of envy and hatred and fear. Then it is not devotional service. Then it is enmity, and you get, because Krishna is so kind, out of his mercy you get a spiritual result, but not the spiritual result is punishment. Going to Brahman.
Maybe
we understand that they weren't reinstated. Not then, but then they became Jagai and Madhai. And then they were reinstated. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Last question. Because they became devotees in the fourth life. Very good devotees too. Madhav and Jagadananda. Yes, you don't know. Madhav was one. Nice name. Oh, that's such a wonderful, very instructive story too. If the questions on Raganuga get too intense for me and too difficult, then I'll tell that story to escape. But so far you're all being very merciful. But Prabhupada also explains the answer to your question. You follow sincerely the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, serving, especially serving one's spiritual master, and then by the grace of Krishna, it is uncovered. And how will that grace of Krishna come? We will see. It can come in any way he likes. But also, right in the beginning, I explained, and as Prabhupada explained, that sometimes our service is mixed. In other words, sometimes we look at the deities and our heart melts to some degree. That is an element of Raganuga in there. And we should cultivate those spontaneous feelings of affection for Krishna and devotees. And also, in addition, if we put special emphasis on, if we, as Rupa Goswami explained, if we give attention to Panch Anga Bhakti, those five most potent forms, then by the mercy of our Guru, we'll make advancement. Okay, so please carefully read the next chapter for tomorrow. That is your homework. There are no questions. Oh, you want the tests? You want the test there? Okay. You hand them out.
I'll hand them out.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Guru Shri Prabhupada.